Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
What makes us freak out for football? The surprising calls.
Third down and 10. Breeze from the gun. Takes the snap. Goes to the near side. Hit Early. Where's the flag?
Don't get one.
Early hit on Tommy Lee. Sean Payton is all the way down at the 10. Unbelievable no call.
Wow. Not a flag to be found.
The surprising wins.
Tannehill throws down the middle. Caught by Stills. Laterals back to Parker, who flips it to Drake. He runs across the 40 of New England. Angling inside to the 30. 25, 20, 15, 10. He's going to win the foot race to the end zone. The Dolphins are going to win it on the lateral. And the Patriots stand stunned in disbelief.
The surprising comebacks.
Snap to A-Rod. Rushes on. Has time. Looking, throws middle, yes. Got us there, break his free to the 50, he may go all the way, to the 20 down the right side, and it's Randall Cobb, to the 5, to the end zone, to the touchdown, oh my goodness, Randall Cobb, 75 yards, and the Packers have tied the game.
What NFL moment shocked us the most this week? Find out now on the After Hours Surprise of the Week. Here's Amy Lawrence.
Yo, 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 here I am. We are just over 15 hours away. It's, maybe 16 hours away. I'm trying to remember what time Thursday Night Football starts. Yeah, just over 16 hours away from the beginning of Week 10 in the NFL. And it begins with an AFC West battle between the Chargers and the Raiders. And then we got all kinds of good matchups in the days ahead of that, both college and the NFL. So it'll be a fun football weekend. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. We try to do this every week in this safe space in between last weekend and the upcoming weekend on the football field. What was the big surprise? You can find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on Facebook if you want to weigh in with your own surprises. Not like a surprise birthday party. That's different. I'll start and I'll say Sunday Night Football, not because the Ravens won, but because of how they dominated both the ball control, which was early on display in the first quarter, late on display in the fourth quarter, the two drives that consumed 17 and a half minutes in the second half. I mean, they were playing a high stakes game of keep away. And they won. They kept the ball away from Tom Brady. And then to see the way that they were able to run the ball against that vaunted Patriots defense. Now, I get it. I mean, the defense was going to wear down late in the game simply because of how long the unit had been on the field. But to give up 200-plus yards rushing was a stunner. And then if you consider the only reason the Patriots got back into this game at all after trailing 17-0 is because of a pair of fumbles by the Ravens. One on a punt. It was a muffed punt, right? And then the other by Mark Ingram. And so the Ravens dominated and could have dominated even further had they not coughed up the ball twice in the first half. So I will say, not that the Ravens beat the Patriots. If you remember, I talked about this at the end of last week when I was in Houston, that I believe this could be a game in which the Patriots would be really pushed and potentially could be their first loss of the year. But it's how the Ravens beat them that surprised me. It was cool to see the Ravens' atmosphere at M&T Bank Stadium, the purple everywhere, Earl Thomas greeting his old friend Tom Brady. It was a great showcase for the NFL and an incredible performance by the Baltimore Ravens. Dave and Chris, you're up.
I'm going to go with the Raiders. I got to be honest, they've surprised me not only this past week with beating the Lions 31-24, but just this season in general. Mm-hmm. I didn't think they were going to be all that good. And the fact that they're 4-4, which may not sound great, but they're actually, if the season ended today, they're in the tied for the eighth spot in the AFC playoff picture. Mm-hmm. And they're only one game behind of the Colts, who Jacoby Brissett, who knows how healthy he is. And
might play this weekend, actually.
He might. Mm-hmm. He might. If not, they're turning to, I believe it's Brian Hoyer. Ooh, yeah. So Josh Jacobs also looking out of Alabama. We've been talking about Alabama. Looking fantastic. Finally turning into form. Three out of his last four games, over 120 yards rushing. Mm-hmm. I think he's really starting to take that form that everyone expected him to earlier on in the season. And I just think they're a surprise, not from just from this past week, but for the season overall.
Agreed. And I hope that people now look at the big picture. We have a year and a half with John Gruden and the moves that he made and how he did have a plan. He was the butt of so many NFL jokes after the Khalil Mack trade, after the Amari Cooper trade. And yeah, it's still hard to fathom that a coach would make those moves. However, the team is bought in. The whole Antonio Brown thing could have blown that locker room up. Instead, it brought them together. I've been really impressed with how they're responding to him, to his coaches, to the system, and how hard they're playing. So I agree with that one. That's a good one.
I got to go with the Seattle Seahawks and the continued improvement and stellar play of Russell Wilson. Five touchdown performance in the 40-34 overtime victory over the Bucs. And just a sidebar, the Bucs, two or three times a season, I feel like the past couple years, they play these wild, wacky games. The one that knocked both myself and Amy out of Survivor Island.
And Isaac last year. And all three of us were wiped out in the first week of the season because we picked the Saints over the Bucs, right?
So just bizarre. So the Bucs giving the Seahawks everything that they can handle. But Russell Wilson's just been phenomenal this year. Clearly a front runner for the MVP, along with Lamar Jackson, Christian McCaffrey, maybe a couple other guys in the mix as well. And the Seahawks, if not for a ridiculous start that no one saw coming by the 49ers, would be sitting pretty.
No one?
Atop their division. I didn't recall any pundits.
Not even Kyle Shanahan's mom?
Well, perhaps she was a believer in her son, but I didn't hear any of the pundits preseason picking the Niners.
Well, it's because we didn't know, and I don't pick really, but we didn't know about what they would get from Jimmy Garoppolo. He really had a rusty, if not just bad, preseason.
Yeah, those reports came out before the season started that he couldn't hit the broadside of a barn in some of the early practices. But yeah, Russell Wilson, the Seahawks, pretty awesome stuff. I think a lot of people thought the Rams were going to be in control of that division, but Russell Wilson and the 49ers have something to say about it as well.
Really good stuff in the NFC West. It's a division now that is shaping up to be extremely competitive. And even the Arizona Cardinals, who are, you know, in their first year with Kyler Murray and Cliff Kingsbury, have been competitive too. They've lost some really close games, but they also have three wins. And so for that, and a tie. So for them, it's really a role of spoiler, though don't tell them that. But I mean, for them to challenge the Rams and the Seahawks and the Niners, maybe that wasn't going to be the case or wasn't expected to be the case before the season started. But yeah, other than the Cardinals, they've got three teams above 500, and no other division in the NFL can boast three teams above 500. And it's weird in the AFC because outside of the Patriots, who are now at 8-1, you've got four other teams that have six wins, and then you've got one team with five wins. And then, as Dave points out, the Raiders, who are at 4-4, would be tied for eighth right now in that playoff picture if we were kind of looking at the picture today. But the Steelers are also 4-4. The Jaguars and the Titans are 4-5, along with the Chargers, which means those teams are not out of it either. So the AFC is just it's a mosh pit. There we go. That's what the AFC is. There's the perfect explanation of the AFC. And then the NFC, you've got a few more teams that are elite that are at the top of the heap. But certainly there's a lot of different ways that this could go because the second half still looms in front of us. As Chris mentioned, Russell Wilson, the front runner for the MVP, I would agree with that. And in my column, I compared him to McCaffrey to Lamar Jackson and just kind of made the cases for each of them. And there are some pretty hefty stats, but also not stats solely, but intangibles as well that you can look at when you're trying to make a case for each of these MVP candidates. So it's a lot of fun to write this week's column, and I'd love it if you check it out. And if you want to send us your surprises, you can do both on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Home is more than a house. It's a personal paradise. So get yours with Rocket Mortgage. Push button. get mortgage. I did see that Chris put up a montage of photos from one Baker Mayfield. He calls it the three stages of Baker, the week 9 edition. I'm telling you what, his face post game is miserable. His mustache is miserable and his face is miserable. And as you can imagine, this is not at all how they expected to start out this year. It's not at all where they expected to be at this point. Forget the noise from the outside. Forget the expectations that were placed on them. And don't try to tell me it was only the media. They have high expectations for themselves as well. They expected to come into this season and be in a much better position than they were a year ago at this point, and they're not. They're not. You could say that they have more talent now, but they don't have more wins, which means they're wasting the talent that they've got. They're wasting the opportunities that they've got. And I don't know that there's really one explanation for it. Why can't they be more disciplined? That's coaching. That's leadership. They continue to have the worst penalties at the worst possible times, it seems like. And no, it's not the ref's fault. They do have a lack of discipline, pre-snap penalties, but also the turnovers. And Baker would tell you himself, he's making poor decisions at times. Maybe it's the pressure that's on him. It's a lot different when you're the star rookie just running around like a chicken without your head, making it look easy. When you're chucking and ducking, you're flinging, and there's no tape on you, and you're lighting your city and your league on fire. It's entirely different when NFL defensive coordinators have more tape and have devised a plan to stop you. They're not supposed to be the underdog, and yet I think that term still applies to the Cleveland Browns. So that's also a big surprise about the first half. So I wrote about a lot of the various questions that I have about the NFL in the first half. That's in my column, too. But as for Baker Mayfield, you wouldn't expect him to give up. You wouldn't expect anyone in the locker room to throw in the towel. He's been pretty steady in this idea of staying the course. Essentially, the Baker Mayfield version of Joel Embiid's trust the process.
Stay the course. You know what? I think... No matter what's going on, you know, I think we've made strides in certain areas that we needed to. But now we just have to make the plays when they're there. We have to execute when it's in the red zone. We have to do those obvious things that we lost because of. But to continue to stay the course and improve each week.
Are they? Are they improving each week? They've had a really difficult schedule. They've certainly had a more difficult schedule than the New England Patriots. I'm not saying they would have the same record as the Patriots, but their schedule's been tough, especially these last 5 weeks or so. So on the road at Baltimore, which is the game they won handily. That's the part that's crazy. It's almost like the Jets beating the Cowboys. Where did that come from? And since then, they've lost 4 in a row. At San Francisco, they got demolished on Monday night. It was a Monday night, right? They got demolished on Monday night. Then they lost to the Seahawks at home in a close game. Got blasted by the Patriots on the road in New England and then just fell to the Broncos in Brandon Allen's first start for Denver. Maybe it would have gone differently if it had been a Joe Flacco start. Coming up, they've got the Buffalo Bills. That one's in Cleveland this weekend. And then they turn right around and they got a short work week before they take on the rival Steelers. The good news is they play the next 3 games at home. So after playing the last 4 of 5 on the road, they've got their next 3 at the dog pound, including the Dolphins. So there are some, I don't want to say easier games. That's not even fair. I mean, you're a 2-6 team. Nothing's easy for you now. But even so, the Dolphins play hard. The Steelers have found ways to win. The Bills are a really good team. The Bengals are still ahead on their schedule. Twice. The Cardinals are still ahead on their schedule. So in terms of opponent's record, the strength of schedule lightens up a bit. But man, to be sitting at 2-6 at the midway point, That's a massive disappointment. Brian says on Twitter, my surprise of the week, the cat with the touchdown on Monday Night Football. I mean, it had been a few hours since I thought about the cat, the black cat on Monday Night Football. But you are right, Brian. I actually, she's a she. I just am sure of it. She handled herself so well when she got stuck out there on the field. She is definitely a candidate for surprise of the week.
A black cat has taken the field.
All right, we've got some more QB news straight ahead here as we get set for week 10. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
You're the colonel. You're going to command your troops tonight. You understand?
Snap the deck. Fade right side of the end zone. Touchdown! It's a touchdown!
Mariota, play fake, looking, floats it downfield. Touchdown! Tight!
Fires for the end zone. Touchdown! And with a terrific job to feed that ball through heavy traffic.
Breeze from the shotgun has time. Guns it down the middle, and he's going to score!
Goff stands in. He whips it to the two. Touchdown!
There's a wobbly pass down the middle. It's a backpedaling, falling down chest high, heavily covered touchdown catch.
Oh, baby, what a throw by Stafford!
It's time for QB News on After Hours.
This has been a year that's been hard on quarterbacks, but it's also introduced us to some bright young talent at the most impactful position on the field. It's a revolving door, let's be honest. That is one of the major stories of the 2019 NFL season so far. Where are guys coming back? Where are guys not coming back? How quickly can young quarterbacks get acclimated and get up to speed? How can teams compensate or protect or help their young quarterbacks because they don't have as much experience, though they've been forced into duty? There are so many ways in which the quarterback injuries and ineptitude have cast a shadow. Not always bad, but definitely left a fingerprint on this season so far, and we're only halfway through. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We are awaiting word about Patrick Mahomes and whether or not he will be able to play this weekend for the Kansas City Chiefs. He did practice on Wednesday, and according to Andy Reid, he was second in line behind Matt Moore in terms of reps, and his workload has increased.
Rick and his crew have done a good job of monitoring. Patrick's been honest with him and shot him straight. He obviously wants to play. I mean, that's him. He's wanted to do that since 20 minutes after it happened. So we just got to see, not only today when he works, but how he wakes up with it in the morning.
I am so anxious to see Mahomes back on the field again. I know he was hobbled a bit even before he had the dislocated kneecap. The way that he was streaking down the field to celebrate with his teammates and Harrison Butker after the game-winning field goal last week. It was good to see. I was a little bit nervous. Butker said he was too. He was afraid to jump up and down with him because he didn't want to hurt him. Mahomes is so good for the NFL, and I just want to see him slinging that football around again. Even if he's not able to scramble as much as he was, I really am excited for him to play, whether it's Week 10 against the Titans or whether they keep him out another week. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. When you talk about injuries to starting quarterbacks, there are some who aren't able to return. So Nick Foles has been cleared and will return for the Jaguars. We know that Drew Brees is already playing again for the New Orleans Saints. They had their bye this past week, which gave him a little more time. Cam Newton, though, has hit IR, and he will not be returning for the Panthers. And so it is Kyle Allen's team the rest of the way.
Tough to see him go on IR last year after he worked to play through that shoulder injury all year and see how hard he worked to get ready each week to play. And then see him rehab in this offseason to get ready to come back this year and look great in training camp, have everything go really well, and then to have something else happen to him, his foot, not even the same injury. And so, you know, I feel for him. It's tough for him. It's tough for a competitor like him who's been on the top his whole career and just to be struggling with these injuries. But, I mean, behind the scenes you see it. He's working his ass off every day to get healthy, not only for himself, but for this team. So it's tough to see him go on IR.
So Kyle Allen giving us the perspective from the quarterback room, but also from a teammate of Cam Newton's. Hey, he worked really hard, but it's tough to see it. And you feel bad for him because this is how his season ended last year with the shoulder injury. Remember, they had lost 7 in a row before they finally decided to throw in the towel with Cam. And now this year and really never seeing him play without being hurt. We wondered whether or not Ron Rivera was keeping information from us about Cam Newton, but Kyle Allen says they could tell that the rehab wasn't going forward the way that it needed to.
He's been rehabbing. He hasn't been out there as much, you know, the past couple weeks anyway. So I think, you know, everyone kind of could see it coming in some sort of way, I guess, you know, because he's been working so hard to get back and he hadn't really been out there. But I mean, we understand what we have to do as a team. We have to take this week by week. This week it's Green Bay, and we know the guys we have out there that we're going to travel to Green Bay and we're going to try and win that game with. So we know that.
A big test for not just Kyle Allen, Christian McCaffrey, but for certainly the Panthers defense. They survived the Titans last week. They're 5-1 with Kyle Allen as their starter this season. And so far, so good. But a lot of it has to do with the way the defense has played. Also, what's been a dazzling season for Christian McCaffrey. I wrote the word dazzling in my column. My mom was very excited about that word. She loves some of the words that I drop into my columns. All right. As for the New York Jets, they're still seeking that second win. It's not been so dazzling the last few weeks for Sam Darnold. But similar to Baker Mayfield saying, we have to stay the course. We've got to block out the noise. Adam Gase is saying his young quarterback needs to have blinders on.
He does do a good job of wiping the slate clean when we start the next week. He goes right back into – that's a good thing when you play a different team. You got to focus all your energy on that. You know, learn from the mistakes you've made.
Adam Gase also talking about some of the self-inflicted wounds for the Jets with their 1-7 record. They've had 70 penalties. So in 8 games, 70 penalties. You can do the math. For 628 yards, they're in the top 5 most penalized teams in the NFL. And that does, in fact, take a toll. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. It's blinders for Sam Darnold. Mitch Trubisky wants to turn the TVs off at the Bears facilities.
Trying to get some of these TVs in the building turned off because you got too many people talking on TV about us and what they think about us, what we should do, what we are and what we're not. But they don't really know who we are or what we're capable of, people, or what we're going through or what we're thinking. It's just the outside viewers looking in. And so, yeah, tunnel vision, earmuffs, and just come to work every day and try to get better and get back to what we know we're capable of doing.
You do definitely need earmuffs for a good portion of the winter in Chicago. In fact, family and friends of mine in Wisconsin are sending me photos and snaps of the snow. I haven't talked to Grammy Helen this week, but I'm going to call her and ask her about the fresh snow on the ground in Wisconsin. But that's not what Mitch Trubisky is talking about. Not earmuffs to keep warm. Earmuffs are essentially earplugs to block out the noise. And I thought it was so dumb that this became a major story on Wednesday. I rolled my eyes when I saw the media coverage. Oh, Mitch Trubisky's soft. He can't handle the criticism. Whatever. He's in the spotlight right now. No matter what he does, it's going to be ripped to shreds because he's the popular whipping boy at this point in the NFL season. He hasn't made it easier for himself or for the Bears, but this is, to me, is not really a story. Now, Baker Mayfield shaving his mustache during week 9 and actually shaving twice, that is a big story.
The quarterback said a Movember mustache, and the original thought for me, do the handlebars, I was undefeated before Sunday with the handlebar mustache, so I shaved it off because I didn't deserve it.
I shaved off my handlebar mustache because I didn't deserve it. Of all the things to be worried about, and yet I'm confident that he got multiple questions about his Mo-shave Movember mustache. Isn't it Aaron Rodgers that would do that? In fact, he's probably doing it this year, too. But he was the guy that would have the different mustache and the different facial hair and would get all the attention in November, even going back the last few years. Just, yeah. It's not something that interests me. I'm not a guy, so I don't really care about what he does with his mustache. I didn't really notice until people started freaking out about it on social media. And Chris, of course, explaining to me there were multiple facial hair changes on Sunday. If you haven't seen the various faces of Baker Mayfield, Chris found a spot or found some pictures and put it up on our social media after
hours. Hey, everyone, come and see how good I look.
No, please don't. So on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, Chris also found this. So he's busy scouring Twitter for all kinds of news from the NFL. An update on the black cat that captivated Monday Night Football. You will get that next. I know you care more about this cat than you do about anything else going on in sports right now. We'll give you the latest on her. I'm pretty sure it's a her. She's so smart. It's After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
A black cat has taken the field. A black cat is running from the 20 to the near side, the 10. From the 39 in Dallas, here's a short throw down the middle caught by Ingram. Caught at the 35, went to the 30. Now the cat running the other way. And so is Ingram at the 30 to the 25 to the 24-yard line of the Dallas Cowboys. It's a catch and run of 15. Now the cat is stopped at the 50.
So is it bad luck for the Giants? Is it bad luck for the Cowboys?
I don't know, but they've stopped playing. The players with hands on hips are watching the cat run and zigzag all over the field. The black cat is at the other end of the field. He's
Black
at the
Cat
eight.
Doesn't know that it was last Thursday that was Halloween. Thursday night
right.
football,
yeah,
not Monday night football.
He's a little bit late. Now he is sitting and looking. Now he's at the five. He's
Who brought
walking.
The cat?
He's walking to the three. He's at the two. And the cat is in the CDW red zone. CDW, people who get it now, a policeman, a state trooper has come on the field. And the cat runs into the end zone. That is a touchdown. And the cat is elusive. Kind of like Barkley and Elliott. But he didn't know where to go. Look at, they're trying to corner him. And they got him in the end zone. There are state troopers all around this cat, which now climbs up into the stands. And the fans are running for their line. Now it goes back on the field again. And it's running in the back of the end zone. And it runs up the tunnel.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Still funny. It's still funny. I can't help it. I haven't yet stopped finding Kevin Harlan's call of the black cat amusing. And to hear Kurt Warner's reaction and playing along, those two guys really do have a great rapport on Westwood One. Now, black cat has become a hashtag on Twitter. Did you know that? It literally is a very popular hashtag on Twitter. And MetLife Stadium used the hashtag to provide an update about the most famous black cat in America. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. I will read it to you verbatim so you get that they are trying very hard to get to the bottom of this. Tuesday morning, this is again coming from MetLife Stadium, the home of the Giants and the Jets. Tuesday morning, we set multiple humane traps throughout the stadium and searched long and hard for the black cat. They capitalized black cat for the black cat, but to no avail. At that point, we brought in our friends at Puppy Kitty NY City, a trap, neuter, release, and no-kill shelter to assist with the search. We are hopeful that together we can find the black cat that we all fell in love with Monday night. There have been erroneous reports in the media that MetLife Stadium houses and feeds 300 cats, which is simply not true. 300? Heavens, where the heck would they go? Anyway, MetLife is saying that's not true. From time to time, we have seen cats on the complex and the Meadowlands racetrack, which is nearby. They have a TNR program in place and currently feeds approximately 30 barn cats. We are grateful for the outpouring of support and will continue to work to try to locate the black cat. Aw, I just know that black cat was so freaked out and scared that right now probably wants nothing to do with human beings, if she ever did at all. Goodness. The picture that producer Chris found, it was a still photo of the black cat, is on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. You do not see cats panting very often, and the cat was also puffed up, so scared and kind of in both flight and fight mode, which is why she looks so mean. She just wanted to get out of there any way she could possibly do it. And I guess it went through the end zone and out the tunnel because that was the easiest way. Poor thing. Probably the last time she was inside MetLife, it was quiet and there were no people in there. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line brought to you by Geico, with a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. Let's talk to George, who's in Stone Mountain, Georgia. George in Georgia, welcome to After Hours.
Hello there. How you doing, ma'am?
Great.
I guess it's ironic.
Wait, I'm sorry. We lost you there for a second. What'd you say?
Yes, I'm talking about black cats to the Falcons. Anyway, before I talk about how badly the team is run, I truly believe that if Pete Carroll, Dan Quinn, good friend, had not been on the opposing sidelines, I really believe the Falcons have a new coach right now. I truly believe that as easily as score with 24-0 at halftime, that they could have truly beat the Falcons by about 30 or 40 points, and Mr. Blank would have fired Mr. Quinn.
So you think the margin of victory is the reason why Arthur Blank didn't pull the trigger? I'm sorry, didn't fire his coach? I don't think so. I think he's pretty committed, it sounds like. Now, I guess he could change his mind, but it sounds like he's committed to not making a change in season, which I agree with. I think firing a coach in season is a really bad idea. It does absolutely nothing for your team, in my opinion.
But as to how badly the team has ran. Okay, I've read in many sources that say that when the season ends and the new NFL business day begins, that the Falcons will officially be at least $10 to $20 million over the hard cap.
Okay.
Being $10 to $20 million over the hard cap with a season that you have no hopes of getting into the playoffs, you need to start cutting salary then and getting as many assets as you can. The Detroit Lions wanted Freeman, Devontae Freeman, did not move him. You got a left tackle and a center who has passed their prime. Other teams would have definitely jumped on those assets. You got defensive players who probably couldn't tackle Maslow, disabled behind. And teams with the depth that and injury that teams are suffering, they could have gotten a lot of assets and dumped a whole lot of salary and got something in return in reference to the next business year if they would have made moves before the trade deadline. Now they're about to cut a whole lot of players who probably could have got them something as far as draft assets for nothing, just to be able to have a draft. If you $10 to $20 million over the cap, you know, at the beginning of the business season, am I not correct?
Well, I see. Now I would have to go and look at all of the guys that are free agents or potentially free agents, and what salary is coming off the books. So I can't really answer that question because I don't know. But I don't think that it's necessary. I mean, they may not think that they're in rebuilding mode. I mean, they do have talent. The talent's just not performing the way that they would like it to. And offense is not the issue. The defense has been a major glaring weakness, especially the defensive backfield. So I don't know that that the Falcons are going to push the button and blow the whole thing up and start fresh. I don't believe they think that that's where they are. Now, the leadership definitely needs to have either a change, or there needs to be some baseline set out, not ultimatums necessarily, but some goals that have to be met for their that coaching staff to remain. But I don't think that they're in rebuild mode, at least not yet. They haven't indicated that.
Bam. If you look at Their offense, they have Mercedes Benz at receiver, quarterback, and running back. But their offensive line, they're nothing but a bunch of Yugos.
Yeah, I know. They definitely were worried about the offensive line. I gotcha. The offensive line was a problem for them last year. It was something that they addressed during the draft and were trying to fix up. But the offense is not the issue. I mean, they had some early turnovers with Matt Ryan, but the offense has not been the problem. The offense can't be expected to score on every single snap. So I got to let you go, George, but thank you so much. We'll see what happens with Arthur Blank and with Dan Quinn and with the team in the offseason. But so far, they're not jettisoning veterans or their coach. They're not hitting the reset button. That's not been what the Falcons have chosen to do at this point anyway. Wayne is listening in Albuquerque. Welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Thanks for taking my call. I'm a big fan, so thanks. I appreciate letting me get on.
Thank you.
I think it's funny how you're bringing up the whole cat and the memes with that because there's so many memes associated with that. And with the Cowboys as a fan, they're such a talented team, and it was just frustrating as a fan to really see that, like, that distraction was actually the best thing for them as far as bringing them refocused to the game. It was actually a distraction to the game, but for them, it was actually somewhat of a refocus. If you were superstitious, if anything, it was a Giants demise as far as them not being able to score since that actually happened. So ever since then, the Cowboys scored touchdowns ever since that cat appeared.
Come on, you really don't think it's connected, do you? Do you honestly think it's connected?
No, not at all. But I'm saying if you are superstitious, that would be a funny thing to look at. But it is funny how people are bringing so much attention to it because there's so many memes associated with that.
Yes.
I think somewhat in a weird way, it did bring so much attention because I don't think the coaching staff is really prepared for the talent that the Cowboys have. I know the previous caller mentioned to restart and do everything with the Falcons, but I think the Cowboys are in a position where they don't have a huge motivation. And they're a team that's more talented probably than most teams, and they don't have the good coaching staff to really motivate them. And
why do they need motivation? Isn't playing professional football and playing to win a division title, playing to get back to the postseason, isn't that motivation enough? I feel like you don't need a coach to motivate you. If you're a pro athlete and you're not motivated to do your job well and to win, then you're probably in the wrong profession.
I agree, but I'm saying as a coaching staff, they're not continually to motivate them. I 100% agree. Like these are athletes that should be honestly 100% focused. But when you have so much talent, you need to be able to have a coaching staff that instills that humility and continues to push that. And I don't see that with Jason Garrett. I think he's more of a fan and like a fanboy than really as a coach and as far as a leader. And you're 100% right. These guys should just be focused no matter what. But I don't think Jason Garrett is in a position where he can really instill that and be consistent with that with these players. But that's just my take on that. You guys have a good day, and I really do appreciate the call.
All right, Wayne, cool. Thanks so much for listening and for calling. Garrett's not a fanboy. He's a former NFL quarterback himself who played for the Cowboys. So that part is not correct. You may not like his style. You may not like his leadership. And it's hard to quibble with the results consistently. I mean, they've had some winning seasons. They've had some really good seasons under Jason Garrett, but they haven't had the extended success in the playoffs. And of course, they've missed the playoffs at times too. So you can certainly point to the results with Jason Garrett and say he should be on the hot seat. It should be time for Jerry Jones to make a change. I did mention this in my weekly column as well. Wondering how much longer Jones will be satisfied with Jason Garrett. But in terms of motivation, that's on the players. This is their job. They're not kids. Some of them are younger, but this is their job. They have all the motivation in the world to succeed. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.